You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out. Well, the show Supernatural has taught me many things over the years. One, a love I'd never thought I'd have for the 69 Impala, but it definitely looks better than I was used to it when it's black and has chrome and an engine that sounds like a monster that's coming out of it to eat you, for sure. Never really thought of it as a muscle car, but I guess it can be. And then the song Carry On My Wayward Son, which was used to great effect in the show in a number of ways until it actually became like a halfway through the season marker. Anytime there was like a break, it was like, okay, here's previously on Supernatural. We're like, yay, we get to hear the Carry On My Wayward Son. And then in the final episode, they bring it back only to halfway through, go, now here's the slow, sad version.
They had so much emotion. That song's only like 4 minutes, man. There's only so much
Carry
they can do.
Carry on my wayward son. Like, just call Sisters of Mercy. You know you want to. Jesus Christ. Well, we're here to talk about the finale, the final season, and just Supernatural in general. 15 seasons on the air, and the only people I could get to answer my call on this when I asked our group was Ray, who's like, oh, yeah, I'm watching it all the way through. And then I was like, well, it's just two of us. That's not going to work. But then Alan contacts me out of nowhere. He's like, you guys going to be reviewing Supernatural?
Yeah, I see you guys reviewing a lot of shows. I'm like, well, Supernatural's over. I know nobody else that watches it. Let me just contact them. Maybe somebody that watched it.
Yeah, I know. I used to know lots of people who do, and they all fell off. And it's odd to me because, yeah, there were some down points after season five. I mean, Eric Kripke, the creator of the show, made the first five seasons and said, okay, I'm just an executive producer now. I got
other failures to work on. Then The Boys happened.
Yeah, and The Boys happened. He's like, woo, money in the bank. Hopefully get 15 seasons of that, or maybe not. I don't know. I would say if you stopped after season five, you missed a lot of the very best episodes this show ever had to offer. A lot of them. We had talked before about what your favorite episode was, and I think it's definitely in my top five, which is the one where, like, Gabriel or somebody who sent them to get away into our world, where Supernatural is a television show and they are Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki. And that was a riot with so much meta stuff. Like, if you were a fan of the show, like, there was stuff where how the actor who plays Castiel, Misha
Collins,
constantly is on his phone tweeting. Like, that's a thing. Like, oh my God, this week he's put up like 500 tweets and Facebook things of like, oh my God, I'm so sad. Look at me. Look how sad I am. Here's some behind the scenes footage. I'm like, Jesus, dude, get off your phone.
Nah, man, the show's over. You got to be sad about it for a week.
Yeah, no, I am in mourning because I really did enjoy this. And I will say that I think that the last two seasons sort of slowed my roll a bit of how much I was enjoying it. And a lot of that had to do with the half-human, half-archangel son of Lucifer they brought into the show, who I just never really connected with. He's the baby on the Brady Bunch, you know, or Cousin Oliver, rather. You know, they brought him in. His whole role is like to basically do a imitation of Castiel, I guess, except he's nowhere near as likable.
He's very wooden, very wooden.
Very wooden, but he's obviously trying to play it that way. Like, I am from another world. I do not understand human things.
More of a child, basically. It's like, hey, watch The Boys take care of a kid for two seasons.
Yeah, but if you get too wooden, then you're right. I think sometimes you lose the audience.
He just was not that charismatic to begin with, but they killed him and brought him back and killed him and brought him back, and he was evil and then he's good. And I'm just like, Jesus.
Like everyone else on the show.
Pretty much.
Usually with anybody but the main three characters, they'll do that with, but it's the main three characters, the family. And I consider Castiel as one of the family, certainly. They did. But
this guy, you're like, well, everybody else is just gone. They might show up in an alternate universe or something, or in a dream, or as a ghost at some point, but for like an episode or two. But can we just kill the kid? Well, it turns out they had big plans for the kid, which is not really surprising. And this is a full spoiler Supernatural discussion. We are not going to beat around the bush. Anybody who's a fan who's interested is going to have seen the finale by now. And anybody who's not a fan but is just curious, well, we'll try and fill you in on some of the stuff that happened here. Because a lot of stuff happened. And it was a weird season, too, just because, well, I mean, it started in October 2019.
Yeah.
And then there was a sizable break.
COVID!
You might have noticed why.
Yeah. Last one was in March of 2020, and then it started up again in October. And you're like, Jesus Christ, it's just a pretty much a new season, yeah. Right? But that's all right. I mean, like, I refreshed my memory by going to Wikipedia between that gap. Go, okay, now what happened here? But yeah, we all knew we're building up towards the end, which meant a lot of taking a lot of the minor characters along the way that were fan favorites and giving them a little bit of a bow. Some of them get killed. Some of them go off to happiness. Some of them go on their own journeys. I'm kind of sad Felicia Day didn't go back to Oz. That was one of my favorite endings for a character on the show ever. She's like, yeah, Oz is real. You know, from Wizard of Oz. That's all that shit's real. I mean, it's a lot more fucked up than the story.
That's usually how it goes.
Go back. Yeah.
There's some stuff as well that I was like, man, I kind of wish they had done this years before and kept it. Like, there was an episode, episode 14, Last Holiday, directed by Eduardo Sanchez from the Blair Witch Project, who they're like, hey, looks like there's a thing here with the power where not all the power was on in the place. And they turn it on and it makes like this wood nymph.
Oh, the wood nymph. Oh, she's fabulous.
Mrs. Butters appears, who's just like Mrs. Doubtfire or something, except actually a woman. And she's, you know, goes around, here's your clothes, I'm cooking for you. And I was like, oh my God, I love her so much. Why didn't they introduce her character like five seasons?
Because they realized it would make it too OP. Like, because as soon as they get that freaking board working, they just suddenly have access to all the monsters.
Yep. Yeah, their job would have been so easy. The series would have been over in two seasons. We'd have been done, one done. And
we did that already. It was called The British Men of Letters. And we saw how that turned out.
Yeah, did they? Okay, so you remember they did the thing where she's like, oh, there's something going on with that telescope. I'm blanking on how that related to anything else.
Okay, so basically
on.
What it was, the telescope was to see interdimensional. Like, you can see different dimensions in there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why they'd ever need it or how they made it, but they would be able to peer in it. So when Dean's like, I didn't see anything, she goes, oh, shit, that's a problem. It's in relation to God killing all the other universes.
Yeah. That was just it. The universes have been blinking out, so there's no other universes or realms to look into. But, of course, it would have been, you know, something they could have used earlier on, because we went to many other dimensions. And if they would have known about those to begin with, two seasons, we would have been out.
Yeah. They only ever go to like regularly to the one, the apocalypse dimension. And I'm like, is this like a lament configuration or something? That's just the default setting is hell. You know, like in Hellraiser, they're like, it opens many doors to different worlds. I'm like, really? Cause you've only ever shown us one. So I don't know. Maybe you should change the, like, tweak the settings on that one. But it does also make you wonder, how did all the men of letters die with all that badass shit at their disposal?
Easy. They didn't have the literal power of God keeping them alive.
Exactly.
Well, God indeed has kept these guys alive for so long because he is a storyteller. If you remember back several seasons ago, quite a few seasons ago, in one of the more meta episodes, they said, oh, everyone knows about you guys because there's a whole series of books. Yeah. About you. And they're like, these are actually things we did. How would we know this? And turns out there was this guy named Chuck who was a writer who didn't realize that what he was writing was he was seeing the actual stories of what was happening to them. And he was just publishing them as pulp novels. And they introduced the idea of the sort of the prophet of God as being sort of a incarnation role. So if one dies, it goes to somebody else. And that played out about 8 billion ways in the plot that I'm not going to get into.
Oh,
but in one of the more, I thought, disappointing decisions in the story, because it just felt lazy, was to go, oh, you know, Chuck, well, he was God the whole time.
I actually like that, but I don't think they ever intended that in season 5. I think they intended it there, but they realized we have to make God somebody that the audience knows. So when they revealed that, when they brought him back, oh, that's cool, they brought him back. Oh, okay, that was a huge reveal.
No, I liked it too.
Yeah, I didn't like it only because I went back to a rewatch and I went, That doesn't make any sense given all the Chuck episodes that are before that. There's like all this stuff where I'm like, yeah, I don't see how that could possibly work if he was God the whole time. But anyway, I'm, you know, it's 15 seasons of a show that nobody is watching to tear apart the way they did Lost, you know? Like,
oh, no, this actually ended properly and satisfying. It wasn't all a dream.
It was not all a dream, but I'm not going to 100% say I was completely satisfied with the ending either. And I mean, you're always going to nitpick. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
The surprising thing to me, and if it's only because these guys are never going to have a job this good again. I really don't. There's just no way. I mean, I like both of them a lot. They've really grown into these roles. They're both very charismatic and good looking men, but I don't think either one of them has ever has the chops to really stretch to something much bigger than Supernatural. Yeah. And I'm like, you sure you want to kill off one of the main characters here? Because shit like this usually in about 5 years comes back for some sort of reunion miniseries or some shit.
Again, this is Supernatural. They could do 100 ways to get everyone back for like an episode. Then again, it's like, these guys have been doing this for so long. I think they're eventually like, we want to branch out. Because I think they tried that like a while ago into horror movies where the Friday the 13th remake had Jared Padalecki. And then Jensen Ackles was in like, oh, what was that?
My Bloody Valentine.
Yes.
Oh, God, I knew that off the top of my head.
Yeah, why did you? I was like, the minor one?
Because I'm a super dorky Supernatural fan. I mean, I'm not like some fans where you like you remember every detail and the names of the episodes and all that. But I mean, I've watched this whole show all the way through twice. I'm a pretty big fan, I think, all things considered. And I never would have pictured myself considering this. This is neck and neck with the original run of the X-Files for me, of like greatest ever Monster Hunter show. Well, I mean, unless you count Scooby-Doo.
No, I don't.
And if you want to mention Scooby-Doo, there's my number one episode. The Scooby-Doo episode.
This is where I piss off the audience. I hate Scooby-Doo and I hate that episode.
Oh my God, I was so bad watching that. Now, of course, almost all the meta episodes, if you will, were some of my favorites, because when they got to do the comedy, I loved it. It was a change of pace, and not only was it a change of pace, I think that the writers and the actors handled all of those very well. They were some of the best episodes. I thought the Scooby Natural episode was pretty perfect, because again, you're getting the comedy, but you're also getting a spot on Scooby-Doo episode.
Scooby-Doo is why I love Monster Hunter shows, because that was like one of my first favorite things in the world when I was a real little kid. I also credit it with the reason I'm a skeptic and an agnostic, because it was always the guy who ran the haunted amusement park. It was never actually a monster in that original run. I felt like they less said about Scrappy-Doo the better, but regardless, from that point on, they started going, oh, well, maybe they're real monsters. I'm like, this isn't as fun all these years later. And I've watched all the seasons of any number of Monster Hunter shows out there. I mean, I've watched all of Haven and I've watched all of Grimm.
Oh, yeah.
I watched all that.
You know, I mean, if it's a Monster Hunter show, I'm probably going to end up watching it unless it's terrible and Supernatural. Man, 15 fucking years. Yeah. It's in like the top 20 longest running shows of all time.
And it's the longest running genre show on American television, I believe.
Doctor Who would obviously be longer. Doctor Who has got you,
but if you look at American, it's the longest running genre show on American television.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that allowed it to do that, because I like the show and I do like the monster hunting aspects. It didn't make me fall in love with other stuff. But one thing I loved about Supernatural is every monster had a weakness and they dwelled into it and they fleshed out a world that makes a lot of sense, to the extent where when characters died, I was like, okay, they're going to be in heaven, hell, purgatory, shit. Unless they really fucked up then in the empty. But it's like you always had an idea of the rules in this universe that they never really ever broke. They established how things would get killed. And they kind of stuck with that. So whenever the boys would go up against a ghost or some sort of demon, they would just go into their trunk and pick up whatever they needed, because you already saw entire episodes based on that.
Yeah, I love that they're like, once they've encountered a monster, that shit gets a space in the trunk.
Yeah.
They're like, in case it happens again, I mean, they encounter a djinn again, and they're just like, that was so hard the first time, like, whatever, fucking djinn.
It's been 15 years, and they didn't fix the latch. They just keep using a shotgun. It's been there for no reason. It's been 15 years that this car fixed the latch, man.
But you're right. This show learns from itself, which is the problem with some other shows. Yeah. That they either don't learn from themselves or they take so long to learn. You're like, guys, you know, you've been in the zombie apocalypse for years now and you can't figure out that they're slow and you could probably just walk up and knock their heads off. This show, the characters learned. And even though we had certain things that happened to them over and over again. It was always for a slightly different reason, and they had to find another solution to it. But with you dealing with the monsters of the week, they knew what to do. They learned from their last monster, and they didn't make stupid mistakes.
Yeah, because the first 5 seasons is that monster of the week, but then they had the season-wide arcs. But it was still like, hey, we're fighting a zombie, we're fighting a werewolf, we're fighting whatever. Once it gets past that first 5-episode run, you don't have as many monster of the week episodes. You have plot episodes where it's like, hey, we need to get this item, or we need to get this thing to stop this big demon. Like, Abaddon was one of my favorite ones, because it introduced Demon Dean and the Mark, which, again, introduced the darkness. So all this stuff kept adding on to it, where every time they solved the problem, it made it worse.
Yeah, they brought up in the finales, attached special, yeah, Long Road Home, how the running thing of, well, one of them has to decide that they're going to sacrifice themselves for everyone else, and everyone else is going to fight him on it, but they will successfully sacrifice themselves for everyone else, or one of the other guys will take their place and sacrifice themselves for everyone else, and then they'll come back. And that's just kind of a running thing, yeah, that turned into, I love that the show actually made it into kind of a gag, where they're like, look, it's not that big a deal. I've been to hell. He's been to hell.
The boys have died. I think, weird, even though that Sam was always a demon child, I think he died less than Dean did. I count three deaths for Dean.
I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, it was not uncommon. And they had solutions even for that stuff. They didn't ignore what came before. Yeah. Like, they would never go against something that came before, but they would go like, oh, it's the only way to do it. And then they'd write in like, oh, we found this other ancient book of scripture that now shows this way that no one knew before how to do it.
The Book of the Damned is way too OP, and I'm surprised they didn't destroy it. Like, yeah, like the fucking cult. The cult is gone, and I'm sad they never brought that back.
Yeah, you remember when the cult was like the end all and be all of weapons, and now it's like a pocket knife.
Okay, to be fair, they did. It was the end all be all, and then until they used it against literal Satan, and it did nothing.
It didn't work.
Yeah,
that was my favorite shot in the entire show. Pa, right in the head. I solved the problem. No, you didn't.
There's the knife that they had, the one knife, the demon knife, yeah, and it was like, oh, better hold on to this. There's only one thing like it. And they're like, oh, we didn't tell you about angel blades. There's like thousands of these fucking things. They're just lying around.
There's like 8 left.
It's like when you're playing a first-person shooter, right? Just crush a box and there's probably one in there.
And then they had the freaking first blade for the Kane stuff, which is a more powerful version of it.
So let's talk about this final season and what you guys thought of it. Now, I already brought up the Mrs. Butters episode, which I thought was great. I also really liked the episode where God's like, okay, well, you know how lucky y'all been all this time? That's because of me. So I'm done. You're done with that. No more luck coming from God. You're literally just going to be normal people, and they have to go and seek out the God of Fortune and gamble for their luck back. And I thought that was a lot of fun.
I actually didn't like that, because I think the idea of like, yeah, because they even say multiple times that God kind of helps them out. And I was like, that's cool. But the problem is he made them incompetent, where it's like they're essentially bumbling and can't do anything. And I'm like, okay, you went too far. Like, I get they have some luck to get through some of the stuff, and they explained it really well using comic book metaphors. But I just got to the point where I'm like, okay, God just did everything for you guys.
I guess I look at it like, if your whole life you've always been on roller skates and you got someplace really fast, and then suddenly they took those roller skates away and you were just trying to run, it would be exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the point. I think that was the point of that, was the fact that, you know, here's God helping you out until God isn't anymore. Yeah. You know, and what would that be like if you always had the training wheels, so to speak, always? Okay. And somebody just puts you on them, and then they let go of the bike. They don't even take the training wheels off and hold kind of onto the back or something. They just go, bye-bye, you know.
I liked it was kind of meta as well, because they were treating them like they were before, because they are characters on a television show. They're story characters who don't get cavities and have to go to the dentist and things like that. They don't have normal people problems at all. And like, what if they were no longer characters in a story and had those things, which were, once again, brought me back to that whole episode where they come into our world. Oh, yeah. That was the kind of the one thing I would have liked to have seen them go back to and like touch on one more time, is the real world. Because I think for a lot of people, that's their favorite. I also like, from a couple seasons ago, the one where there's the high school doing Supernatural the musical.
Oh, yeah.
So much fun.
And yeah, I think about why I like the, because again, I really did like the meta episode where they go to set a Supernatural, because it has my favorite scene that Dean ever does, where he doesn't know how to act like his character. So you have Jensen Ackles, the actor, acting like Dean, trying to act like himself on set. I'm just staring at this going, this is Inception levels of acting right now.
Well, and of course, they're using it to poke fun at their entire industry as well. you know, there's so many in jokes about on sets and PAs yeah. and things like that. And it gave them and the writers an excuse just to poke fun at everything they've probably ever done in their careers. I think that's one of the things that, you know, makes them so fun and made them so fun for us too. You can kind of tell when somebody's having a really good time writing something and having a really good time making something. Yeah. And when you get that chance to poke all that fun at your industry, you get to do all that and you're having fun. So we're having fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. I did like as a little in joke that the last job that we ever see in the show, Sam, go on is in Austin, Texas.
Oh,
and
really?
Both the actors have moved to Austin, Texas since then and have owned businesses here and are seen around town.
Well, and Jared's new show is based in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, he luckily, CW is good to their actors. He's going to stick around for a while.
That's one of the reasons he said yes, because he's like, well, I want a show I don't have to leave Austin for.
And then, hey, Jensen gets to work with Kripke again, so they both got what they want.
Yep, that's true.
Jensen is, I guess, in Vancouver. I think that's where they film The Boys. Isn't that where they film almost everything?
I'm pretty sure, but yeah. Evidently, Heaven is also the Pacific Northwest, in case y'all didn't know that to begin with.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no matter where they are, it's pretty much
in regards to this last season, there are a lot of loose ends in Heaven I'm surprised they didn't fix. I think they kind of just said, oh, yeah, we dealt with all those problems. Because I'm like, there's like eight angels left and Heaven's shutting down. But I guess Jack fixed all the problems off screen.
Jack fixed it. That's what they said. Jack fixed it.
There's a lot of to infer there because Jack, who now is the new god, they're like, oh, well, he was busy for a while fixing some stuff, they say. But they don't say what. They're never specific. There was a point where Dean, who I'm sorry, died stupidly. I was like, that was lame.
Yes.
Against a vampire.
They did it right, though, when they're holding each other. And that was emotional.
No, it was very emotional. I don't disagree. And it was very well performed. You can tell there's a lot of actual feelings between these actors, which is fantastic. And they hang out constantly here in town. They're often sighted in each other's company. So, Jesus, I wouldn't hang out with the people I worked with every day that much. The way he died, I thought was lame, but the aftermath was good. But you're still like, yeah, Jack, aren't you God now? Can't you just come in and go, okay, that's fixed? Because they certainly did it for you enough times.
I've been getting into Twitter fights all week or the last couple of days because of that. The luck they got, because right now God isn't giving them any of the powers that they normally would have had. So they got all the regular luck from the goddess there. But they still don't have the whole, we're going to save you the last second. So they just have a regular amount of luck, but they're still going to die. They just don't have a situation where Dean goes for 20 years before dying. It's like, no, we're going to kill them off relatively quickly. Just so we can have this separation, basically.
It makes sense, but I also went,
he's going to die some way, somehow, anyway.
Yeah, and he even says that. He says, every day we go out, I expect to die. I just didn't expect it to be today.
Yeah. I mean, there's, like I said, some great lines there. I like the aftermath of it, but regardless. I also thought it was weird that they do Sam, they give him the 6 feet under ending, you know, of like, oh, here's him getting older and stuff.
Some of the worst old age makeup I've ever seen.
Really bad old age makeup that was barely trying. And then why didn't you do that for some of the other beloved characters?
That's what I don't understand too, because I'm like, okay, I know you can never bring Crowley back, even though he's like my favorite character on the show, but you didn't bring the mom back, you didn't bring anybody else back. Like, I know they keep trying to make that supernatural spinoff with all the female characters, which I love. You didn't bring any of them back?
Yeah, the sheriff, Jody, wasn't in this episode. I was like, what?
Well, is any of that to do with COVID, maybe? I don't know. I honestly don't know this. Was that to do with when they got up to this, they were like, I don't know that we can bring all of these people back and all of these things and have people traveling and have, I don't know. I would have loved maybe on the special that they did when they were doing the whole retrospective, where maybe if they would have said, you know, we had different plans for the season or the end of the season, or we didn't have different plans, you know, this was what we wanted to do all along. I kind of would have maybe liked some explanation.
I really hope when they put out the Blu-ray set of this, that at least on the commentary or something, they talk about, well, here's what the original plans were and that had to change. Because clearly, you're right. There's a lot of stuff you're like, all right, obviously this is because they
just didn't have the time. Yeah, which is understandable. Yeah. But what they did wrap up and what they did with the season, because like I was kind of hesitant at the idea of God being the villain. In order for the show to keep going, they had to keep escalating stakes. Because that's why I'm okay with Dean dying randomly like that. Because if some random vampire took him out, I'm like, okay, this dude literally fought God. Some vampire's going to take him out. Okay, fine. He died by accident. I can live with that.
But no, he's murdered half the angels and demons in existence.
There's no gods. There's no gods
and
left.
And God. Yeah. And God. Well, he didn't murder God. He made him totally impotent.
Yeah.
You're like, wow. Which is even worse, I suppose.
But one of the things I was hesitant walking into the season is I don't like the idea of God being the villain. Because he was always kind of the ally. well, they're doing their own adventures, and that was kind of cool. But I'm like, are you serious? You're going to end this series by him killing God? Come on.
You just want to see them get rewarded for everything they've gone through and not just kind of... Because it just everything just goes back to normal, and then it's over. And I was like, well, there was never a sense that they got a reward. I mean, I'm not saying I needed to see, like, you know, the Star Wars throne room scene or anything with, like, Felicia Day standing up on the dais
Here's
with
a medal,
gold
Dean.
Medals. But something.
Well, I argue that they kind of, that they did get their rewards. And that even the people that we didn't see probably got their rewards in the sense that they talked a lot about free will. And that now that God is not running their lives anymore, they really have free will and they can do whatever they want and they can go where they want and that kind of thing. But what did they choose to do? They chose to still
hunt,
protect the world. They chose to fight these monsters. And then at the end, Sam gets his reward. He gets a good long life. He gets a wife. He gets a kid. Even Dean, who dies earlier, gets his reward in the sense that now Jack has gone and fixed heaven and put it back to what is probably the popular consensus with a lot of religions and just a lot of people who, even if they're not with organized religion, they believe that heaven is a place where you go on and you see all the people you've ever loved and it's perfect and time doesn't matter and those sorts of things. So I think I could argue in the end that they did get their rewards.
That finally everyone got heaven for real and not the... I always call it the Piers Anthony heaven, which is, help, we're so fucking bored here. There's nothing happening. Take us to hell. We don't care.
That's actually, as much as that's a weird thing, that's what I love about the show is they have my favorite interpretation of heaven and hell, where it's like, again, the episode of Castiel, where he's just describing what heaven is. It's like, yeah, every soul creates their own heaven. My favorite place to go to is this dude that's just flying a kite the whole time. And I really, like, that made a lot of sense, especially the episodes where they see them leaving their doors and it's just, like, the Hall of Bobbies and shit like that.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, you got to kind of fix it because it's like, they it had its own problems. Nothing was ever perfect in this world. It's like, yeah, you're only reliving your memory, so it's only so real. So we got to kind of fix that problem.
And you also have the Matrix problem, which is, well, we tried to make everything perfect and everybody healthy and happy, but people started figuring out it wasn't real, like really fast when that was the case.
Oh, yeah. The episode where they, I think very early on in the season, probably the first run of it, where they have people jumping to different heavens, which is always super fucking cool.
So if there was going to be some sort of continuation or spinoff or something, other than things they've already tried, mind you. So let's like rule those out. What would you like to see happen to continue the story forward?
I don't want the continuation. As much as the spin-offs ideas are cool, that's it. Like, the reason I love this show and why it's one of my favorite shows of all time is every season explored the universe and did things that I just never imagined. You had the first five seasons going through hell mostly. And then the next one's like, we're going to go through heaven, hell, purgatory, everything in between. And the original ending for me, I think they should end in season 11 because they fixed every problem in the universe. And I was like, well, there's no more show, right? What did you do next? We're going to explore the rest of the world. The British Men of Letters for two seasons. And they just kept going and to different dimensions. But I honestly can't think of a single place they can go. This universe is so thoroughly written down that any other show would just be, you're just doing Supernatural again. You're not doing anything new. And I'd be tired of that in a week.
And I think the other thing is that even if you were to try to do it again and do it as a Monster of the Week show, there's no more Monsters of the Week. I mean, they explored monsters from just about every folklore, just about every culture, just about every, I mean, we've done them all. We all know how much everybody likes remakes and reboots in Hollywood. And this was a big moneymaker for CW. And you could argue that it started 15 years ago. So it's time. I would hate for them to do it all over again.
They wanted to do one with the cult, like the guy who made it back in the Old West, which that actually does sound interesting. Like what's Supernatural about, like, you know, 80 years before we know all the stuff we know?
At the very end, you've got Sam's son sitting on his bedside, and they have gone ahead and tattooed him, you know.
As you would.
You would, because you know these things are out there. So we can't say that his son doesn't know what's going on. I mean, I guess they could run it again with Sam's son, but I don't want them to do that.
I don't want it to go in any traditional manner. I do like your Weird West idea. I love Weird West horror. It's like one of my favorite.
That's so interesting
subgenres.
To me. I'm like, okay, cool. You're so far back in the past, but you're dealing with someone that clearly knows their way around the supernatural universe. So it's like, where could you go with that? Because every spinoff idea they had was interesting. Getting the sheriff, her kids, and all that stuff. Or even the random episode episode where it's like it's in the city and like all the monsters are like mafia type people where they all control various. I'm like, that's cool as well. But like I said, this universe is so thoroughly written down that you could just look at any item on there and have an episode dedicated just to that item.
Listen, if you did the past, the one set in the past, you could have any number of the immortal characters come back and have arcs in it too, you know?
And have another lame death for Lucifer. That's I love this show, but Lucifer has never had a cool ending, ever.
It's true. I actually would like to see a The Office-style comedy that's like basically after all this is over and it's heaven and hell and it's just so much paperwork and processing to do and they have to stay in close touch with each other, right? And there's like a kind of secret relationship going on between a demon and an angel that like they like, you know, office politics you can't let anyone know about. Exactly. I would watch that.
I could see a 20-minute YouTube series of just like every episode, like here's a random bullshit thing that's happening.
Exactly. All right, let's go to final thoughts. Ray, get us started.
This was a show that I didn't come to in the very first season either. I had a lot of friends that were watching it. They said, oh my God, it's so good. You have to watch this. You have to watch this. And of course, there's 120 things a week I'm supposed to be watching. So it kind of fell by the wayside a little bit until I was able to catch up. And I binged the first three seasons and then started watching it every week. There were weeks where the episode maybe wasn't quite as exciting or whatever. I never failed to watch the next episode within a week. Even if I missed it on Thursday night, I made sure that before the next Thursday, there I was watching it again. I loved the fact that these characters got fleshed out over time, that they had the time to do that. I love the fact that they learned every time they did something. I love the fact that they were able to poke fun at themselves the whole show in various seasons with various episodes. I guess the biggest thing that I loved was that you had these characters that along the way, that no matter what, there was family. And even when your core family is dead or gone or to another dimension or whatever has happened to them, you can adopt a family. You can find other people that you love, whether it's the other hunters, whether it's when Castiel finally comes in and they kind of accept him as one of their own after a while. And he really does become one of the family. And that's something that, of course, rang true in my life because you learn more and more as you grow up that you can pick your family. I like that about it. I know that the final episode was sentimental as hell, but I still liked it. I loved it. And they've earned it. 15 seasons, you have earned a 5-minute death speech by one of the main characters. Yep. They treated it like something they loved, even when, yes, I know that there were some fans that didn't love it after several seasons, but the writers and the actors and the people who worked on the show always treated it like something they loved and always treated it like something that they wanted the fans to love. This was just a show that hit me both in my genre loves and my family love. I got to get sentimental about it myself. And I have got to give this 9.75 car trunks full of weapons. That's the whole show in general. If you go with the last season, I still think that there was a lot to love about the last season. Castiel's goodbye, Castiel's death scene was also very well written. That just tore me apart. And so I think they did a good job wrapping it up. I liked the last season. I liked it more than some of the other seasons. But maybe not as much as season 2 or 3. It's part of sentimentality. I still have got to give the last season 8.75 out of 10.
Alan?
Every time you see a horror movie, it's always like, run away from the monster. This is a show where it's like, no, we have a plan. We have random oils. We have knives. We're going to go kick its ass. That was every episode. I'm like, that's so awesome. We get to see these characters fight the monsters that everyone else would run away from. And then they had the overarching story of trying to, you know, get revenge for their mother. And it was a compelling story for the 5-season run. And I was like, wow, that's a really satisfying ending. What's it going to continue? And it did stumble along the way. But one thing that I always loved about the show is I love gods in modern society. I grew up loving Greek mythology, but they always said it in the past. And I was always thinking, what happened if Zeus just walked down the street today? I mean, well, Supernatural was that fix every single week because they fought Greek gods, Norse gods. One of my favorite episodes involving Sam and the Boys was there was this like auction and Sam just picks up Thor's hammer at one point and just uses it. I think he picks it up later on in like a montage where he just has the hammer and kept it.
Who was the Greek god that kept coming back? I'm blanking on which one it was. The one that was the trickster.
Oh, Loki.
Was it Loki?
Basically, they called him the trickster, though.
Yeah. But I thought he was posing as someone else at one point, though, right?
Because it was the archangel that was posing as Loki.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they brought actual Loki into the show. But yeah, there's always so much stuff to do with that. It's like, what happens when a god gets depowered? And they explored every aspect of this world. So it always gave me a reason to come back. Because people are like, how could you still watch a show after like 15 years? I'm like, yeah, do you know what happened in this season, that season, that season? They explored this, they explored that. You know what purgatory is? You know what hell is? Like, there's explanation for every aspect of this world that there's never going to be another show like this. Never going to be another show that's willing to explore this, that's willing to give entire episodes to just random metaphysical domains. And I'm going to miss it. And this last episode was, it just showed, it's like how much, like, even after I've seen these characters die so many times, seeing Dean say, don't leave, say it's okay, I was like, oh my God, it's okay. Like, it was so upsetting, but I was also happy because it's like, hey, it ended on a good note. I've seen so many shows end on such garbage notes that I could deal with one that has a few loose ends. Overall for the series, that's probably 4 out of 5 magic bullets in the cult. And as far as for the season's 15, I think it's stronger than some of the other seasons, but it's weaker in other aspects. But I can let the pandemic just be like, yeah, that's the reason this is a little bit weaker. So this one is probably like 3.5 magic bullets in the cult.
I had more fun with this show than I didn't. I never seriously considered stopping watching it. I know so many people who just fell off. I'm always like, I'm still having fun. Even when it's weak, it's still better than almost any of the other Monster Hunter shows out there. And there were some seasons that really threw me off. Like, I hated the whole run that they tried to get Lovecraftian with the Leviathans.
I hate that season entirely, yeah.
That's the worst season out of all of them, in my opinion. It's terrible. But they quickly realized this isn't working and decided to really kind of pursue the angels and demons thing, which was the right decision to do. And they had a lot of fun along the way. There's every season has so many fun episodes. In the end, I was satisfied largely with where it went. Yes, they're, you know, I backseat drive it to death and go, oh, I would have done this, I would have done that. But overall, it was satisfying. I'm sad it's over, but also it's kind of relief. Any show that's 22, 23 episodes, 40-some minute episodes a season means that's a lot of watching. And now that lot of watching is off my schedule. So I'm going to come down with a lot of love for the show. There's something to be said when you can tell people are having an enormous amount of fun doing things. And you could always tell in Supernatural that everyone was just having the best time. And they've been extremely clear about that, how much they all love each other, how much they just love making the show. And they did not end it because the CW told them to, or because of low ratings. The ratings were still strong. They ended it because they said it was just time to end it. 15 seasons, yeah. You know, I mean, how long are we going to go on with this for? I mean, are we going to add now when they die, they regenerate? No, not going to do that. So I'm going to give this season 7 out of 10 Miracle Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
It's a mixed bag, but it's better than the previous two seasons overall, I thought, which were probably closer to a 6. I mean, it's all right. It has some strong points. It doesn't have any I totally loved it points, but it did come to a very strong ending. But the show, when you look at it as a whole, is a remarkable achievement and is iconic. And these characters, who I will never not love, it's just wonderful. It really is. And I will continue to go back and revisit my favorite episodes from this. I hope someday to get in a room with the two lead actors and just interview both of them. That's like the dream. Oh, I got to meet Jensen Padalecki in the airport once, and he was super sweet.
And he's also
freakishly tall. That is accurate.
He is a sweetheart. I've gotten to meet him 3 times. So he's
you guys are, man.
I hate you.
I need to meet them.
Yeah. No, I've seen people who've moved to Austin entirely because they moved here. I'm just saying. That's a thing. But I'm going to give the show in general a 9 out of 10 prophets of the Lord. Because why not? Because there's a lot.
And there's never a good job.
Nope. They're never good at it. Poor Kevin.
Oh,
Jesus.
Kevin.
He's died like 8 times.
Presumably still walking the earth as a ghost right now.
Unless Jack just fixed it.
Yeah. We don't know what Jack fixed and what he didn't fix. I mean, he could have just gone, you know what? Why are there monsters anyway? That's stupid. Mm-hmm. Let's get rid of the monsters. Life sucks enough without them, right?
Yeah.